Day, as I am every Wednesday, and I guess we'll just get right into it here with USD 383 school board member David Colburn and assistant superintendent of USD 383 Eric Reed. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Morning, Brady.
Well, kind of an interesting one we have today. You guys are typically scheduled on this time. This isn't any sort of special appearance. You're always scheduled on this time, but obviously the news headlines this week make it probably a more interesting visit for you guys, considering football coach Joe Schartz and the news headlines on that. Of course, we've had more news today that the RCPD's wrapped up their investigation on that. Eric, if you just want to start out and talk about tonight's board meeting, a little bit different of a board meeting than usual.
Well, I know this is a topic a lot of people want a lot of information on. This isn't the medium for us to give information out. Any personnel items, we're not going to. But what I can say is the meeting agenda will be amended to add a personnel at the end. And we're going to plan on doing that around 8 o'clock. And we thought that was important to try and target people when to tune in. We broadcast our meetings on Facebook Live, so if you go to the USD 383 Facebook page, we project those live. We save those, and we put them up on YouTube afterwards, and I know we have some people interested in coming to the meetings. But we also do have a full meeting planned, too, and we didn't want one to distract from the other or people having to sit through 3 hours of meetings to get to what they were interested in. So we've kind of target that time for the board to talk about that and do basically do their action.
And you talked about amending the agenda. I guess if you can tell us a little bit more about the procedure on that. And
okay.
Of course, you guys go by parliamentary procedure, and so everything's very
kind
precise.
Of amended parliamentary procedures. But yeah, we put an agenda out usually a Friday. To give everybody a notice of what's on the meeting. So we try and get it out there. And if we change it, basically all the board has to do is at the meeting move to change the agenda. So they'll make a motion, get a second, take a vote that we're going to change the agenda to put something on that wasn't on the original agenda. So it's not something we slide in until the meeting, because only the board can set their agenda.
An interesting thing about this whole case, I guess you can say, is that I talked to RCPD yesterday morning and asked them if the case that they had involving the battery incident in October was still ongoing. They said yes. Apparently this morning it kind of wraps up a little bit today, or like their end is wrapped up on it. Did that coincide much with your guys' planning or your guys' timeline on all this, or is it very separate? Does that matter?
Not. It really didn't matter, so... As far as I didn't know, we didn't know when they were going to wrap up. If for sure, we didn't know when they were going to wrap up.
So as far as the investigation on the RCPD side, has that had much weight to what you guys are dealing with? Or is that just a lot of information you guys maybe already know?
It's a lot of information. I can't really say much about that.
Okay. And then one more question, and I'm sure there'll be others, but as we're talking a lot about, or the conversation has been a lot about Joe Schartz really since October, and especially this week and last week. But as far as the students involved, has there been any punishment for the students on this?
Once again, I'm not talking about any incident. So I know that's what people want to know.
Sure.
And information may come out in due time, but today's not that time.
All right. And again, here, Brady Bowman here with USD assistant USD 383 Superintendent Eric Reed and school board member David Colburn. And David, I know going into this you didn't want to say much about anything, but do you have any thoughts that you want to address this morning?
Not on this topic.
All right. And again, if you have any questions, comments, concerns about anything USD 383 related, give us a call at 785-537-1350. You could also send us a tweet at 1350 KMAN on Twitter. You can also tweet myself at Brady2Day, 2 being the numeral. Of course, we got a lot of information on our website at newsradiokman.com, and that meeting tonight at the Robinson Education Center. Some other items on the agenda that you might want to talk about.
We've got a very full agenda tonight and with some very important items on it. We're going to start with a work session at 5 o'clock with our local legislators. And we'll be talking about some specifics concerns we have here in Manhattan, but we'll also be talking about the positions that the Kansas School Boards Association has adopted at their annual convention earlier in December, and what we're interested in seeing from the legislature in this coming year. And one of those topics will bleed over into one of the reports we received tonight, which is on our spoken reports, BG Consultants will come and present the final version of this facilities master plan study that they have been working on. And I've got the final draft in front of me here. It's over 300 pages. And this is going to set the course for our district, our buildings, our students for 20, 30 years and beyond. And it's really important stuff. However, the last school funding bill that was passed last spring or summer contains a provision in it where the amount of bond issues that can be issued by school districts is limited by the number of bond issues that are essentially being retired. There's a cap in place. And that's going to really potentially tie the hands of all school districts in terms of trying to pass bond issues, but especially larger districts, growing districts who have significant facility needs. It's very problematic. We have no idea, even if we approve a bond issue to put in front of the voters, and if they approve it, we don't know if it'll go ahead because of this cap that's in place. And it's brand new, and a lot of people don't understand it. It's one of those things that got stuck in the dark of night into the bill, and it wasn't well thought through. And
that seems to be a pattern these days.
So it's a mess. So we'll be talking about that and other topics with our legislators, and then we'll be receiving the final report from BG Consultants about our school facilities going forward. Among other things on the agenda.
A lot of work and conversations went into this document and this process. So it's been enjoyable. It's been a really great learning process, I think, for everybody. Our new board members coming on board next month have been very engaged in this process as well, which I'm very proud of them for sticking in with that early before their elections. They were attending meetings, they were coming along, they were giving input, and they've done a nice job with that. So I really appreciate the work BG has done, as well as Howard and Helmer. I think they changed their architecture name. I'm trying to remember.
Alloy.
Alloy Architecture. They kind of got shifted around midterm. But there's been a lot of work on this for a lot of groups around the district, so.
Staying along some of those same lines a little bit, Associated Press yesterday, a story came out that there was an audit and found that the largest school districts in the state received millions in funding. They say not allowed by state law, I guess really talking about transportation dollars. I don't know if you guys have heard much about this story, but it's from the Wichita Eagle, and they said that the Kansas Department of Education has given more than $45 million to school districts in just past 5 years to help bus students to school. State auditors estimate that Wichita's district alone got nearly $3 million more than legally allowed. And basically, and it seems like it's a very ticky-tack thing, which most of these things usually are. It says the audit report released last week found the department is distributing transportation funds to districts using a method repealed by lawmakers in the 70s. It said the method results in districts with the highest population densities receiving more aid. Is that anything that's on USD 383's radar at all, being a large school district?
Brand new news.
I have not heard that, Brady, which probably means I haven't got a contact from KSDE saying that we were involved in that group. If I do, I don't mind reporting that out. And
sure.
It is what it is. Our transportation numbers are audited every year. You know, we have a person come out from the state and say this person qualifies and this is what your percentage is. So, I don't know if it'd be anything the districts are doing or just change in the auditing process or some mistakes that's been made. Our auditor, I think, has been pretty good about all that stuff. But I guess if that falls into us, I'll let everybody know because I think that's important to know.
Sure. And of course, I found it pretty interesting when I saw that yesterday, just because every conversation I feel like I have with school folks, no matter the district, where it's been here with the Manhattan district or Randolph Blue Valley, I don't get the impression that transportation budgets are just flush with extra cash or anything like that. It always seems like you guys are doing what you well, you can with what you have in those situations.
Well, buses are expensive, and as our district grows, roads expand. You know, we added probably hundreds of miles of roads within the last couple of years just within our district, and new developments going up. So it's always a struggle, and it's a struggle to find bus drivers and to find more bus drivers. It's better if you pay them more, and we made a commitment to that within the last year to try and do that more, and it's helped with our drivers. So it's always a dance you play, and what you don't want to do is you want to fund transportation off transportation dollars that you get, and you don't want to slide and have to supplement from your general fund over to your transportation, because then you're taking money out of the classroom and putting it on buses. So we work really hard to stay within the money we're allotted.
And that's a struggle to do. I think about every person in the school board, school districts across the state will tell you that's no easy task.
We got some great people to make it happen, though.
Let's go ahead and go to our first break. We'll come back and talk more with Assistant Superintendent Eric Reed and School Board Member David Colburn right here on News Radio KMAN.